start taping.
Looks like a court stenographer over there.
601. Thank you all for being here. This is our first committee meeting in person, so I appreciate everyone taking the time to come out. We'll start with attendance.
Chairwoman Bartels.
I'm present.
Deputy Chair Roberts.
Here.
Legislator Gavaris.
Present.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
Legislator Ronk.
Present.
You have 5 present, no members absent.
Great. Okay. So we all know why we're here, to discuss the resolution that was before the legislature at the last meeting, which pertains to a new lease for the BOE space. So I think I'm going to begin by opening it to the BOE commissioners, just to give us a brief update, and then we'll get into the space discussion with Buildings and Grounds and Commissioner Kent.
In the year when I took office, we had sort of known that there was going to be a transition coming in the next couple months or even into next year regarding our spacing requirements. And as commissioners, I really don't feel comfortable sitting on the sideline and just watching other people sort of make the decision as to where the spacing needs might be. And so we decided to be proactive and go out and find what would be ideally our dream scenario to meet all of our needs and any future needs that might be coming our way. And that's what this proposal is. I'm going to be honest. This meets anything we could possibly ask for and allows us to adapt to anything that might be coming to us legislatively on behalf of the state as to how do we have to conduct our elections. We both agreed. We went through every step of the process to make sure that there was nothing missing from this plan when we brought it to DPW, to the legislature, and to the exec's office, to make the argument and make our case for what we would like to see in our office space. Now, that being said, this, in all honesty, was looked at as like the first throw. Let's see how it goes. Let's see what other options are out there and what the timetable is. So with that being said, we did everything we can to put out the timetable, see where we were at and what's going on. And I think we can both say that we're united on this proposal as is, and we're willing to consider what other options are out there if needed. But in a time scenario, I can tell you right now, we feel most comfortable with what we have here. And if there's any specifics as to this proposal, we've all had plenty of time to look it over. We're more than willing to answer those questions.
Okay. Yeah, also to that same end, I don't know if everybody got a chance to read our proposal that sort of goes through what our current issues are. We have, I think these issues, some of them are very serious. The accessibility of our office on Main Street, especially with all of the absentee voters that we had last year, and just how many more we're likely to get with the potential passage of no full absentee voting. The parking uptown, since we moved to that location and the 90s has exploded. It used to be, I'm from Ulster County. I remember going uptown after high school in 2003 and there was no one around. Now it is incredibly busy. There are all kinds of businesses. People can't find parking to come to our office. On the weekends, when we're open, when we have absentee voting, on Saturdays there's the farmers market. We can't even find spaces for ourselves, let alone all of the voters that we see coming through our office. We did survey a bunch of voters, all of the over-the-counter voters last year, and that's where these comments come from. And parking was the biggest criticism of our office. People couldn't find it, it wasn't handicap accessible, they had a lot of issues getting in and out of the uptown location. So that for us, wherever the board is moved, would be something that we would be hopeful that everybody is mindful of. The accessibility is also a difficulty. We do poll site assessments for all the poll sites that we have. If we were to use our office as a poll site, it would likely fail that assessment because the door is not handicap accessible. You have to be able to wrap your arm around a door. If you're in a wheelchair, it's also not at the same height as a wheelchair. So that is a problem. We have to let those voters in and they have to get our attention from the street or call us, and that's not fair to them.
And that's something also that, like, current landlord we've been in constant contact to address that hasn't been addressed.
Yeah, there's been a lot of issues as of late with the new landlord, with the office. Climate control is a big issue right now. Our air conditioning conditioner is broken and the staff is miserable. There are fans everywhere. Last year when we were doing all of our work during COVID, we had to use some money to buy air purifiers because it's just not reliable in the office that we're in right now on Wall Street. A big difficulty with the Wall Street office is our organizational space that's in the back by the conference room. That's where we prep all of the poll site bags. It's also where we do our counting. The state has passed legislation to have us begin counting before Election Day. I do not know how I will be able to do that next year. With prepping a poll site bags, and also counting, they are located in the same area. We would have to split them apart, and I don't know how we would do that while also helping over-the-counter voters, meeting all of our registration deadlines, which are going to be moved up as well.
It's also the same space we use to pack ballots to send out to be on time and manage.
Yeah, all the absentee ballots. Yeah, it is. So it's a multi-use space. It also needs more security. It's not as secure as it could be. It's a double lock system, but it's a pretty rudimentary lock, and we would like to see it have a key access. Yes, you have a question.
Well, Chair's okay. Just
yeah,
so
okay.
For myself, and I think I've heard everybody say this in the past, nobody is disputing the fact that the existing space is inadequate and just you can't continue there. I don't think that's in question at all. If somebody else feels differently, I think they should speak up, but I don't think you need to sell us on that.
Legislator Ron?
I mean, I agree with Legislator Guevara's in part. I don't believe that we can continue there long term, and I don't think that anybody believes that staying at Wall Street is a long term solution. I wouldn't say it's inadequate. It's not ideal. And there is definitely more ideal space, and I think there are more ideal options. So that, if that's something that everybody can agree to, that's something I could say. I definitely don't see long term, but I also don't see an emergency to move out of Wall Street.
I agree. Not an emergency, but I agree, not long term.
Deputy Secretary Ryder?
So just so for everyone's awareness, if we move the BOE office operations, we have to move them within the city of Kingston.
Yes.
Right now,
the main office. Correct.
The main office has to be located in
Kingston. An office in the
county. So if we're talking about moving Wall Street or the Wall Street office, right? We're talking about moving it within the city of Kingston.
I understand.
Yes,
may I?
You may.
One option that hasn't been talked about, I think, is a main office and branch offices, which is allowed under the election law. You're allowed to have more than one office of the Board of Elections so long as one of them is in the city of Kingston without a referendum.
So if we could speak to that idea, we currently have two of our full-time employees up at Golden Hill. We're reliant on them, our technicians, for helping us count the absentee ballots. They're fully trained on the CLEAR ballot system that we used grant money last year to buy that we use today. It's why we were able to count all of our ballots in 4 hours as opposed to 4 days, which is what it usually would be. At the same time that we'll be counting absentees next year, they will also be programming and testing their systems. They can't be in two places at once. If we were under the same roof, we could cross-train people and figure out a different way to allocate those personal resources. It's very difficult right now for us to be able to do all of our work with having the two locations. We also have to prep the poll pads, which takes people out of the office up to Golden Hill where those are stored. And on the last end of early voting, when we have to turn them around for Election Day, turning around the files and making sure that they are fully saying someone voted early so they don't sign in again. That's a process that we do at Golden Hill that takes anywhere from 2 to 5 hours to do.
And just to give it a little bit back end, like, so when those two individuals who are on their own in a facility, if one is to take off, and specifically around like an election part of the season, that other individual cannot be in that space. They have to either come down to our office and then be repurposed for another task that's going on elsewhere that they might not necessarily be trained to do, or that will take us time to train to do. And we're actually looking at this next month where we're wrapping up an election and we have two employees who are exhausted after running this election who are trying to take time off. And I got one taken off 1 week, another taken off another week. That's 2 weeks out of a month where we're going to lose being able to have somebody up in that space without some sort of precaution or some other individual from an opposite party having to go up and cover that office space. And that's something I'm new to experiencing, and in what we're anticipating, where we're going to need to be able to keep that at full staff and keep things turning around in a timely manner. That's an inefficiency that, like, I hope to address and I know we'll address, but it's also something to take into consideration when you do keep us separate. It's something that's that has to be accounted for.
So I think just to summarize, it's fair to say that the ideal circumstance would be to have all operations under one roof. Well, we all agree that would be ideal.
We all agree. I think universal agreement that it's an ideal. It's all about how much the taxpayer is willing to pay for ideal.
Okay, so is there anything more you wanted to add right now in terms of the background? Okay, let's move to the space. I think it's time to move to this space issue. And I'd like to give you the floor, Commissioner Jackson, to talk about the work that was done to assess county-owned space and the possibility of a move within the county. And however you want to do that with your staff, maybe we can introduce all members.
Yes, I would like to do that.
That would be great.
These are deputy commissioners: Don Quisnell, deputy commissioner for finance; Liam Maneri, deputy commissioner for buildings and grounds maintenance; and Rob Parity, deputy commissioner for capital projects, contracts, and leases. So we were asked by the county executive to do some research on location options for Board of Elections. And we started by meeting with the Board of the commissioners, and we listened to their space needs. And their needs are, I would characterize them as more than just square footage, it's also functionality and location issues having to do with being within the city of Kingston. So we took all that into consideration. We looked at their existing space, how they're using it. We took a tour of the facilities. And then we went out, we already knew that they had identified a potential lease at 79 Hurley Avenue, but we were asked to look at alternatives. So we looked at that space, we took a tour of that space, we looked at the lease particulars, and then we went and looked at other potential spaces. Trying to stay with properties the county already owns, because that would be more cost effective. So we looked at the BRC, and the BRC, the Business Resource Center at Development Court, has insufficient space, and the functionality there would be problematic. If you were to look at that square footage for machine storage, we find that the space there's been a pretty substantial investment in renovating that space, updating it as office space. I don't think highest and best use at all would be to put machines storage there. Can't locate their main office there because it's not in the city of Kingston. So for insufficient space, insufficient parking, and a poor use in terms of highest and best use analysis, we did not recommend that. We're recommending against that. We also looked at Enterprise West, which the county has conveyed title to UCEDA. And while there's a lot of space there, it's not renovated space. The machines, if we were to store machines there, need a climate-controlled, they need heat, they need air conditioning, they need dehumidification. None of that exists there now. And in addition to that, there are asbestos issues. The asbestos abatement, I believe, will create the asbestos abatement and the requirement for renovations are problematic enough that there is insufficient time to do any of that before they need to move off of the old jail property.
And can I ask for clarification purposes? In both those spaces, you were primarily looking in terms of moving the storage mm-hmm. function, the text and the storage function.
Right. Neither one could house their primary, their...
Without a referendum.
Without a referendum.
Yeah.
Right.
Legislator Runk, did you want to ask, just so it doesn't get too far away, do you want to ask on this? Because this really relates to the memo.
I was just taking notes because, the commissioner can finish first, and then I can go back to some of the points.
Okay, perfect. Okay, Commissioner.
Commissioner, if you want to continue.
So we were unable to find any other locations. That's a short list. I'll grant you that. But there aren't any other county-owned facilities available. So that would put us in a position of looking for a space to lease, which is what we have. And we don't find any place that would be as readily available as the one at 79 Hurley Avenue. Now, we also did a financial analysis, and that's part of your report. And we find that this lease space, when you look at all of the costs associated with the two spaces they have now, this lease would result in an increase, an average increase cost per year of $62,500. And Don put that report together. Thank you, Don. That's analysis of the lease. Don, would you like to say anything about it?
Sure. The $62,500 includes all costs at the old jail site, at the current 284 Wall Street site, and at the Hurley Avenue location. It does not include utilities that are non-common. It's a little hard to do a comparison on that, but in theory, they should equal out to the same. But the utility cost of 284 Wall Street is incorporated in the lease. So the real difference in the $62,000 is you're not leasing the space for storage right now. You would be under the new. So that's the difference.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question on that?
Yeah, no, I have you.
I think I was ahead of you.
No, he was.
I was way ahead of you. Okay. I put my hand up after, like, you know, Tom's third word. first question to Mr. Quesnell. The $62,000, that includes all of the, you know, quasi triple net costs, the school taxes, all that stuff.
Yep.
And then, you know, it takes out the utilities that are paid for in the rent at Wall Street, and then doesn't factor them in at.
So, it doesn't include. So it includes the full cost of the lease at Wall Street. It takes out the cost that we pay up on the hill, for which is about 10% of the old jail, and it also takes out the utility cost at the Hurley Avenue.
So in theory, it's actually $62,000 plus whatever it actually costs for electric and whatnot at Wall Street.
Just electric and sewer. Correct.
Electric and sewer.
Yep.
Okay. There's no way we can get that information from.
Give or take about $2 a square foot.
Okay.
On a market.
All right. Just to Commissioner Jackson, on the use of the term machine storage, the Board of Elections has gone to great pains to talk about how it's not just machine storage and that there needs to be other options, other things there. So those were taken into account when deciding where to. Okay.
Right.
I just want to make sure that we're all using the same.
If you don't mind. Because one of the other things is our iPad and the electrical infrastructure that would have to be installed to be able to power up the iPads and machines when in testing or
yep.
in maintenance.
How many of those roughly do you do at a time?
So the machines are 10 at a time in the scenario that we're evaluating. We could potentially do them all. And with the iPads, it's anywhere from 40 to 60 at a time.
So they're 120 volt outlets?
Actually, lower. We have that right. It should be right in the cheat sheet for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you'd need 10, 20, you know, 120 volt outlets, you know, when not considering power strips.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, I have legislator left.
I've got a couple more questions if I could.
Absolutely.
You know, Enterprise West. Have we opened the bids yet? I know there was a bid on the bid board for the Farm Bridge portion of Enterprise West at UCEDA, and the opening was the 24th. Did we open those bids?
We didn't.
What was the cost?
The low bidder was $520.
$520?
Yeah. The second low was $9.
What's the square footage on that?
Have to go back to the bid. I don't have that.
I'm just saying that we have a benchmark now on what asbestos remediation would cost, you know, on a per square foot basis. So if we wanted to renovate enough square feet to temporarily hold the Board of Elections machines and machine techs, and if we had to a classroom, although I believe that a classroom could be used at either SUNY Ulster or the Kingston Center for SUNY Ulster very easily for training, you know, inspectors. You know, we have somewhat of an idea on what that would cost, right?
Sure. We opened bids for property right next door.
Yeah. Yeah.
The building.
Same property, though.
Yes.
Okay. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we could get it done. It's not a lot of square feet.
So a couple of things to think about, Ken. One is that the county no longer owns the building, so it would be difficult to finance a capital project for the necessary renovations.
We have a contract with UCEDA. We just passed it last month. I
realize that, but if for the county to conduct a capital project there, I don't think it can be bonded.
If we contracted out of operating, you're talking at $500,000 operating contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not. Bondable.
Bondable, right.
But any improvements we do, we can all speak honestly with each other about the relationship between UCEDA and the county. Anything that UCEDA gets for sale of the property is going to end up coming back to the county. The county executive is the sole member of UCEDA, I believe, correct?
The county is the sole member of UCEDA.
And by way of the county executive. And the board is entirely made up of county employees.
No longer.
Well, it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there's unexplored potential there personally. Rather than writing a check for $600,000, that's not going to end up with any equity in the end for the county.
Legislator Litz?
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I went long, Herbie.
Tom, you said that you looked at the BRC, but because it's renovated and the best, highest use would be for office space and not storage, did you look at the possibility of moving an existing county group to the BRC, therefore opening up something within a county building in the city of Kingston for the commissioner's office?
So there are a couple of other moves that took place in the interim. The Department of Tourism lost their lease with the City of Kingston on the Lower Broadway. They were moved into what we felt was a space appropriate, appropriate square footage for them on the third floor of the county office building. And purchasing, which was literally busting at its seams, was moved into the BRC, where they have more room to conduct bid openings and other things. So they're occupying that office space right now.
So there's no additional office space at the BRC that is not occupied?
In pockets.
There's a small amount of square footage, what, about?
300 or something.
Yeah.
There's the back room.
There's the back room. So there's probably,
I think it was 400.
400 square feet, something like that.
Okay. I just wanted to ensure that was looked at.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Legislator Walter?
So my question is probably pretty similar to Legislator Litz. It's sort of just worded in a different way, of the idea that you assessed unoccupied spaces, but had you assessed occupied spaces that might be suited with minimal renovations? Like if you were able to take them and put them in a county-owned, is there a space that we have that might be occupied but would actually suit the BOE?
The third floor.
Well, and the IS building, but not yet.
Yeah, so the IS building, South Manor, is something that might be a very good long-term space for BOE. Right now, IS is there, and currently it's under evaluation for structural issues. We know that it has structural issues because it doesn't have a footing under a significant wall, and it needs a fix that we're uncertain of at this point. So it's not available now because IS is still there, and it also needs, it's going to have a capital project for structural issues.
And what's, sorry, just, wasn't there a plan to move IS out of there?
Yes.
I feel like we voted on one that moved IS. So what was the delay with moving them out?
Eventually, we were going to move IS to the BRC, but as we started to consider that move as well as potentially moving emergency management to that space, either or, we did an architectural evaluation and the walls don't meet code for either IS infrastructure or emergency management infrastructure, it would have cost much more money and I don't even know if the work was feasible to bring them up to the current code standards in order to have the resiliency that you need for a 911 center or for the servers and other infrastructure for IS. So the BRC didn't work for those. But that's one of the, that's where we were going to put them, which is why the office space was built out for IS, and then it turned out to not be a feasible location.
And are there other feasible locations for IS?
We're looking at it.
Yeah, we're evaluating it. I don't know yet.
I'm gonna jump in for a second and just ask a couple of questions as well. And the first is, when was the last time that a countywide space assessment was done? Because the last countywide space assessment that I saw, or that I recall seeing, was prior to taking occupancy of the law enforcement center, when we were attempting to determine what departments to put in the law enforcement center. And that was a very thorough study that involved all rental space. It essentially involved all county space, whether it was county owned or county occupied or rented by the county to someone else, if that existed. I haven't seen anything like that since that point. Are you answering the question?
You're talking about the CNS study? Because that is the last one that I'm aware of.
That's the last countywide study.
Yeah.
It's in the library if you want to see it.
What year is that?
That's 2007.
Yeah, 2007. So, I mean, I guess the first...
South Mendham was collapsing.
So is there any intention to do that kind of study again? To really, so that these kinds of questions have sort of a concrete understanding of space behind them? Because that's one of the things that I'm having a hard time. It's like to ask the same question that's been asked in a different way, you know. We talk about the third floor and the IS building. We've anecdotally talked about, many of us around this table, about the first floor as being a possible front-facing part of the operation for BOE, meaning all of this side of the first floor. But obviously that would mean multiple moves. And one of the things that I'm struggling with, and I know other members are struggling with, is whether or not this proposed move, this proposed dream scenario, is in fact a proposed short-term solution. And I ask that with the expectation that either answer is problematic, because if it's a proposed short-term solution, we're spending a lot of money on a short-term solution, and if it's a proposed long-term solution, we have a five-year lease with the potential of having an exponential raise in that lease after the expiration of 5 years. So I'm curious, from the executive's side of the office, are we thinking of this as the final solution, or are we thinking of this as a temporary fix?
I think we're thinking of this as not a temporary fix, but a temporary relocation so that we can do the further... I don't know if we're going to do a countywide property study. I don't know. I mean, those are... A countywide space study may go further than what we need. I mean, this was a very expensive study, but evaluating the potential moves and kind of doing a study on what might come in the future over the next 5 to 10 years, I think, is more feasible. And really evaluating right now, Tom has a study that's being conducted at the IS building. I think many people think that would be, I mean, they were there in the past. I don't know what the commissioners believe, but I think, you know, DPW and others think that a possible long-term solution for them, which would take about 5 years, would be the IS building. So whether you're looking at this as that short-term solution, which then a pivot to IS, or if it works, we've now, because of your advocacy and others, now have 15 to 20 years set out there where we know the rates. So.
Legislator Wong?
Thanks. I mean, let's if we can, let's have that conversation about what's a long-term solution, because if, you know, if the long-term solution is leasing space until whenever at the Freeman Building, you know, that's a different conversation than it's a step towards a final solution on county property. And I believe that the legislature is pretty united in that we'd like to see the Board of Elections that, you know, on county property as much as humanly possible, because lease space is so expensive long term, and it really doesn't build any, you know, continuity for the taxpayers and for the people who are going to be visiting the Board of Elections over the years. I think that by moving them, and then let's say in 5 years from now we're ready to move them onto county property, it's going to confuse voters. It's really going to confuse the voters. Well, they were on Wall Street. Well, now they're over on Hurley Avenue. Well, after that, now they're here in the county building. You know, if there's one thing that's harder than anything else in the world to break, it's a routine. And, you know, quite frankly, I was having an informal conversation with another legislator earlier today about, well, what if we had the Board of Elections on the first floor here, and if Circuit Court is over at the courthouse, where I think everybody agrees that it belongs, you know, we move the clerk staff from the first floor to the third floor rather than moving Board of Elections to the third floor, and then all of the public-facing items, you know, generally, you know, the Board of Elections and the DMV are all on the first floor. You know, the people moving from the first floor to the third floor are going to be pissed off because they're used to being on the first floor. Like, it's the hardest thing in the world is to break a routine and to break the status quo. You know, so to do that more than once for the public-facing portion of the Board of Elections is one of my biggest concerns when it comes to this. And everything that I've heard is that Hurley Avenue and the Freeman Building isn't the final plan.
Commissioner Dittus?
Just a couple of notes. I know the county building has been sort of bandied about as a potential for at least the front-facing office. There are a couple of concerns that we have as an elections office about being in the county building. The lack of parking isn't going to go away being at the county building. It actually adds another layer of an issue, in that the county lot is a charged lot, and if someone is coming to vote, that we will likely be sued for charging people to come and cast their ballot. It's a problem.
I'll solve that in 30 seconds.
That could be solved, but that if it's not solved, that would be an issue. We would be in the same building as candidates for local office, inclusive of their name being publicized in the elevator, different things. That's an electioneering issue if they're coming to cast their absentee ballot. If we're on the first floor, there is no ADA issue, but if we are on an upper floor and the elevator goes out, we're out of compliance with accessibility. I don't think it'll be big enough for everybody, especially if the idea of having people on the first floor and then other people on another floor, I know that's been talked about. When we approve absentee ballots, we have to review them, the application, before they're issued. If the people issuing them on the first floor have to run upstairs to get us to approve them, that's going to take significant more time to issue a ballot to a voter. Whether or not this is a popular opinion, I know that the presence of law enforcement on the first floor will be an issue for a portion of our voters.
Demographic.
Extra hours are required by the Board of Elections, weekends and specific nights for voting. We are open the same hours as early voting. That will require additional money to staff the security. And our office cannot be closed for COVID, any reason. We're required to be open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. That is in the statute. So those are just a few of the issues that we've brainstormed about being in the county building.
I think that's helpful to hear. Deputy Executive Milgram and
that. Just kind of to try to bring it together based on what you brought up. frankly, it's both a short and a long-term solution that works right now, and it can work 10 years from now. Ultimately, in 5 years, if there's a more cost-effective alternative, absolutely, we would look at it. That's just a part of responsible administration. But for right now, there is no county space that's feasible for the operations that we're trying to put together. And in 5 years, I would, we could have a bunch of hypotheticals. The first floor, for example, has stacks in the basement that are connected with the clerk's office and the courts that could not be supported weight-wise in any other level of this building, and frankly would be limited to many other spaces around the community. It's a very tricky process trying to look 5 years and figure out where we can shift things around. And until we get there, until we know it's cost-effective, this is really going to be just like any other move, that it's a long term until we find something better.
Because it's responding to me, if I could just say, I think my concern as well is that when we think in terms of it being both short and long term, and when you say if something more cost effective presents itself, I believe it's fair to say that nothing's going to just present itself. I mean, I commend the commissioners on the initiative for actually trying to find a solution to this, because we have been raising this concern for a variety of reasons over the course of my entire term, and I know over the course of Legislator Ronk's term, which are two different terms, but we've talked about it. And what's interesting to me is that initially my concerns were about the cost of the rent. Now I have different concerns. Now the rent is a part of it, and it's probably more applicable to the new rent, but it's the inadequacy of the space as it exists currently, the office portion, even more so than the disconnect to the technicians, which I appreciate that the ideal would be to have it together. But having taken the tour during operation, while the space was up and running and not at its height, it's totally inadequate from my perspective. And we have a variety of, on the legislature range, in terms of our opinions on that. But I don't believe a solution is going to just present itself. I think if we're going to find something in-house, whether it's something that exists currently or something that the county has to build or buy, and I'm just shooting from the hip, that's going to be something that we have to actively figure out. We can't wait for something. I don't think any department's suddenly going to just go bust and we're going to say, wow, look at that, there's 10,000 square feet we can use. That's just not likely to happen. So what I'm trying to gather is there going to be an aggressive and overt effort to find an alternative, whether we move them right now or not, and we use this as a temporary fix, or are we going to move BOE to this facility and say, well, there they are. Well, now they're going to stay there. Yes?
I mean, the studies are being done now to identify whether South Manor is a feasible location long term for county operations, whether that's fixing it and putting IS back in there or fixing it and putting BOE back in there. They were there at one time, so the work is actively being done. There's other operations like probation and parole that are up on the hill that we are actively seeking other locations for, and that they are doing the work to try to locate other sites. If you look at just the additional cost, which is the $62,000 that Don highlighted, I think it will be difficult if we were to leave BOE at Wall Street for us to find a space and either retrofit it, build it out, build it, whatever it is over the next 4 years, that's going to be less than $62,000 a year for the machines. They cannot stay where they are. We can argue whether they need to leave in January, February. We know somewhere in the spring, shovels will go in the ground. The commissioners will tell you that by the time elections come around, it's too late to move them. So next year there's going to be elections and early voting, and the process will probably start in March, which means we need to have them moved into a location January, February. As Deputy Milgram said at the last meeting, I believe, part of the reason to do this now and pass it last month was that there was only going to be one move, that they were going to have part of the Freeman building ready so that at election time, once they've hired movers to take the machines out of Golden Hill, they were going to move them directly to the Freeman Building. I believe we can probably still make that happen, hopefully, you know, as long as we make decisions in July. I'm not sure if it would happen later, and it's going to be tight. I don't know that they're going to be able to do the build that quickly. But I do think it's going to be harder to find space for cheaper than this, knowing that we need to move the machines now, or next year.
Were you raising your hand?
I was, yeah, earlier. But
I just wanted to make sure that I didn't have... Yep, go ahead.
So just to address some of Commissioner Dittus's concerns about the county building, I'm sure that we could come up with some sort of voter validation for parking. I'm sure that we're not going to get sued over, you know, the dollar and change that they're going to cost to park in the county office building. I'm sure that we have a mechanism with which to cover up local officials' names to ensure that there's no electioneering going on. You know, the elevators are a real concern. That's one of the reasons that we were talking about the first floor, especially for public-facing portions. If we did bifurcate the office in the county office building and there were some upstairs and some downstairs, I'm sure that a couple of floors isn't going to increase that much. I can tell you that there are multiple county departments that work on two floors in this building currently. So, and I've never heard a complaint about the lack of cohesion in their offices. So, with all due respect to some of your concerns about the county office building, I'm not sure that a lot of them hold water. With response to what Deputy Milgram said, you know, about a responsible administration, you know, looking for other options, I think a responsible administration would have been taking this on prior to now. And I do commend both commissioners for coming out and finding, you know, a solution to their problem, because one wasn't being done by the folks in charge of the buildings for the county. You know, I don't agree with the timeline. I don't agree that it's definite that there's going to be shovels in the ground by April. I hope so. We all hope so. We all hope that we're funded in the first round, you know, for the housing project, but there's definitely no guarantee on that. I do have a question about the space analysis. Where are we at with that in the process for analyzing county space? And I know that we're told that a study has begun, but...
No, the study that's being done is the...
Is only on South Manor?
It's an engineering and structural design
study
on the NEWA.
Where's the study at in terms of completion?
It's in contract.
Yeah. So the study hasn't begun, but we're in contract for it.
Okay.
I mean, I can tell you, I wasn't kidding. That's only one volume of the CNS study, but, I mean, I was on the Space Utilization Committee in 2008 when we went around trying to find a new place for IS because the roof was going to cave in 2007. It hasn't. Throwing that out there.
Legislator Hefner?
Two questions and then just a comment. First, for the study at IS, once that gets out of contract and the process begins, what's the, can you give an estimated timeline on a structural study like that?
I would think 90 days. We would have a result of the, you know, enough to evaluate what are the options for moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And then my other question was, how long in 2007 did that process take? Do you remember?
I was not here.
Oh. That study, I don't think, it was commissioned way before I became a legislator.
Yeah, I was just curious. So it was a significant...
I mean, there may be a timeline in there. It's probably like 8 volumes. Was that maybe 2005? Yeah. 2006 that you guys commissioned it, Rob?
I'm thinking
yeah.
Five. Rob and I were definitely...
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
There's two different studies.
Yeah.
There's a structural study.
Yeah, yeah. So I was just curious, the timeline just on the space study. Okay. On this, my side. That was my part two of the question. Because, you know, the thought two I have here is I believe, you know, the question posed to the group of, you know, what is considered a short-term versus long-term solution. You know, also I think opposed to the group and for discussion is what is considered, you know, reverse. How long is it appropriate and acceptable for us to stay in, you know, status quo? And, you know, with all the institutional knowledge in this room, you know, I think we can think of the reality of where our current situation is in terms of county-owned property, and I get concerned with how, like, and curious what folks think, what is an acceptable amount of time in terms of the service we're providing the public, and the actual ability with the more modernization of voting requirements that we've seen in New York State and the likelihood of more is appropriate for our staff in the BOE, just that reverse side of how long is it appropriate to keep the status quo. And, you know, with the exception of which, you know, totally in support of, would be in support of the county buying a new space, really how much in terms of county infrastructure and space is really going to change from now going forward. And then, and, you know, to really, you know, consider that question as well. Because I think, you know, unless, I just don't see anything very, like, substantial so far in front of me that's an alternative.
Has, to follow on that before, has that been considered? Have we looked into purchasing a property, and have we discussed with the landlord whether he'd consider leasing to own or would consider selling the building? Has that been discussed at all?
So this is part of a building, not the entire building.
I know.
On Hurley Avenue.
I'm aware.
Right.
Yeah, 'cause I'd also just add that I'd also be curious if folks do have thoughts on it. I have, in all the different discussions, I haven't really seen a counterpoint or a disagreement on the ability of the space, the Freedman Building space, to not perform well in terms of having parking, in terms of the space needs, and I haven't really heard any negative, minus the obvious, you know, the important question and concerns regarding the increase in costs. The actual ability for it to be a really positive functioning space for Board of Elections.
Yeah.
Just to speak to just exploring the other options when we were looking out there, I did look at some of what it would cost to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You have like the Kia dealership on Schwenk Drive that I believe is being listed for like 1.5, 1.8, and that was before even getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be like one of three properties in all of Kingston that are currently listed that would even have a minimum of 7,500 square feet.
But that was you looking.
I was just like working with Deegan, who had also been working for the Daily Freeman Building.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we should look at the possibility if there's something to purchase. I mean,
there's not a lot of inventory. We are looking at trying to relocate other functions, and there is not a lot of inventory out there right now.
Legislator Gavars?
No, Legislator Gavars. I've been running a not building
from the city of Kingston.
Say that again?
We could probably buy the tourism building from the city of Kingston, but I'm not sure you want to put more elections down there. So.
It's historic.
It's true. Is there anything in election law that says what has to be done at the main BOE location?
There's a speaks to Central Board of Canvassers, which is ourselves and our deputies. We have to be present for the canvassing of the absentees.
And that has to be done at the main location?
Well, that's where the ballots are stored. That's where our...
But forget about what we do now. I'm asking the question, what can be done?
The main location would have to be where we're storing the ballots, where the security and the integrity of that is done.
Well, the voters cast the ballots.
That would be the bare minimum of like a poll site and the two deputies and the two commissioners being at that front.
Can we verify that somehow and make sure that that's the case? Because
let's not get into the debate right now, but let's get the verification.
I'm going to lead into where I thought.
I got answers from Nick, but if you don't want to get into it now, we don't have to.
You mean you have a document that speaks to this?
I'll
see where I was going with that, because it's where I actually thought Legislator Rock was going with it.
So, under the statute, Board of Elections must meet at its usual office, but the canvassing duties could be performed at any other office of the Board of Elections.
Right.
So the election law section 3.214, subsection 2 provides the Board of Elections may establish as many fixed branch offices as it deems necessary. So, and the canvassing can take place at any one of those branch offices. But under election law and the New York State County law, because we began with a board of elections in the county seat, we cannot move it outside the county seat without a referendum.
And
okay.
The A branch has to be in the county seat.
And I get that, and that's where I actually thought you were going with earlier when you said that, where, so what if, just, you know, follow me on this for a second. Two of your clerks that are the forward-facing people, so we've always been looking at this as how do we include the back of the house people in the space with you? Well, what if we annex the front of the house, the two people, who from one from each party, put them downstairs here in this building, let's say, and the rest of you all have one space outside of the city of Kingston where the rest of you were at? What would be the downsides to that?
The only caveat to that is during an election time where we are issuing ballots, two commissioners have to sign off on the issuing of that ballot. So, and that application is being done at that front-facing office,
and
at
that
those
can't,
two individuals.
And that has to be done at that main BOE location?
Well, so if we're going to have our main BOE location, if our main BOE location isn't going to process an application for absentee ballots, defeats the purpose of having that main location.
Well, the main, to me, the main, what's that?
I'm sorry, but the your word you mean is what has to be in the city of Kingston.
Yeah, that's why I'm calling it the main one, because I don't know what other term to call it other than the statute required.
It requires that A branch be,
and that's what I'm saying. So
those individuals that would be staffing that position are categorized as our clerks. It is their responsibility to process these applications. We would be pretty much like shuffling around who would be in that main location to try and skirt the law a bit to be able to have those processed elsewhere.
I wouldn't say it skirts the law, it complies with the law.
I have a question.
Logistically, we are a staff of 10 at the main office. We are doing
clerk
and
work.
We saw this last year and we've seen it in other elections. We are doing the full work of the whole staff. Everybody is issuing absentee ballots, everybody is registering voters, ourselves included. We are doing clerical-based work. It doesn't matter what title we have, we're all doing the same amount of work because that is what the public is demanding of us. We saw that last year when we brought in excess of 20 extra part-time workers just to do that. If we were kept separately, going into counting absentee ballots in advance of election day with everything else that's going on, early voting is happening, we're often training inspectors, which is something that we do, with some support staff helping us. And we're also testing ballots for election day. Unless we hire more people, it's not going to work. I'm telling you.
That's an efficiency issue.
But I don't follow what you're saying. We're not talking about you
There's
going somewhere else.
There's not enough people, and we have to all be together in order to get that all done.
So
and
like
we can't hire part-time people to do the machine side because they have to be trained in the security of the machines.
In an election season, there can be as little as only two people at the front of our only office right now being the front facing because there are designated tasks going on in the background. So if we split, it's our office. We now have two less people to be at the front. And we then have other tasks going on in the background and we have additional tasks coming down the pipeline where we are not going to be able to meet those. If we have multiple offices, we have multiple needs to be at the front of the office to address any voters coming in. I hope we're...
Does that answer your...
It is an answer. I don't know if it answers my question, but I understand what you're saying. I don't know that I agree 100%, but I understand what you're saying with that. I just feel like if you're splitting up the location and if the minimal amount required to be compliant with the law is done here, let's say at this building, with two staff members, and everything else is done at the branch location, then I don't see the harm in that. But again, not knowing the full extent of what has to be done by statute, saying that, you know, do we have to have ballot counting here? It doesn't sound like we do. It sounds like just anything. I mean, hard to, I don't know.
Legislator Ron?
So the pressing issue is the machines, machine techs, and the training facility, which is the portion that's up at CCP that is, in theory, going to need to be out of there by April. So in between January and April, or after Election Day in April. Has there been any analysis done on the cost to move. Because there's a tangible cost to move in infrastructure, in computers, in technology, in everything else. And the cost to move the machines is a lot less than the cost to move the rest of the office, in theory, in my mind. Has there been any analysis by the county in terms of how much it's going to cost us to move these operations separately or together?
Not by DPW. I'm sure the commissioners could address that.
I mean, it's
what
a DPW function.
What was the cost to just move purchasing?
Machines?
No.
No, the purchasing.
The purchasing department from here to the BRC, what was that cost?
$1,500.
Always moving was about $1,500.
They're comparable departments. They have about the
just
same amount of people.
But that's not, again, we're moving into county space that we'd already renovated and we already had all the infrastructure in and all of our data lines and everything else. I don't believe that his cost is Mr. Dutton going to be putting in all of our data lines and everything? Or are we going to have to send IS or have a contract with an outside vendor to come in and put in all of our data lines and everything that we're going to need for a sophisticated Board of Elections?
I think that's covered in the lease, but
it's from my recollection, it's everything except for the IS work, which is the materials we buy out of operating for any move you would do.
Okay. My thing is, we move these Board of Elections machines 3 times a year. We use always to do that too, I think.
Yes.
You know, so the idea that if we brought them back there and then moved them again after Election Day, to me, that's a de minimis cost. It's not, you know, it's a cost of doing business at the Board of Elections several times a year as it is. You know, have we looked into whether or not we could rent a smaller portion of the Freeman Building just for the portion of the machines? It would actually bring them closer to the Board of Elections. If the goal is to co-locate, have we looked into that? Whether they'd be willing to rent us enough space for the machines and maybe a classroom?
Cool. Can I address your first question regarding the build out?
Yes.
You may.
So in relation to this year's budget and this specific project, it would be an additional cost that we could potentially fit under a cybersecurity and grant build out that's only available for this year for us. That cost was estimated without even going out, just having a conversation with Chris Fiore. This is something they typically budgeted for and could do in-house in years that it's budgeted for. So if it was like looking into next year, you could potentially do it in-house, or they could potentially have it covered under their budget. Between him and I, we were estimating this would be like between a $10,000 and $20,000 project to do the electrical and the internet build-out for that current space as it is. Okay. And that's without getting a contractor out there to do a proposal for us that was also being discussed by Chris to take place. It sort of paused after the vote last month.
Yeah, I mean, I feel strongly that, you know, we need to move towards getting the Board of Elections into county space, and I don't think that, you know, moving everything out to Hurley Avenue and co-locating it accomplishes that goal. I'm fine. I'm just one vote, but I'd be fine with renting space for the machines and the techs. I don't think that we need the space for a classroom because, you know, we've got two community colleges, one of which is right here in the city of Kingston, where the classroom space is there. I think they're even larger than the one at CCP. It was, what, 750 square feet?
All I would ask is for assistance to get, like, priority booking on it then.
Of course.
Because we've had the biggest trouble.
Yeah.
And this past year, this past election, we just tried using SUNY Ulster as a poll site. Very uncooperative and very mixed signals.
And they've also
It's also a weird year.
They said to us, too, that because of COVID, that's why they had the space available to us. They probably wouldn't have that otherwise. And I believe we did pay to use the training room, so it wasn't something that was given to us.
Given the excess of $6 million that we pay to SUNY Ulster, along with half of all of their capital costs?
We had to pay for security because we do 3 trainings a day, 9, 1, and 5:30. There's also going to be an issue. We do the training, and the new legislation requires the cure process of absentees, and we are required to do that cure, the commissioners are. So the idea of having our training room in the same space as our office where the ballots are stored is that we can do our cure process same day because we have a 4-day turnaround. Before the election, we have a 1-day turnaround. After the election, we're out of the office upwards of 13 hours. We have to go back and do that because we're in class the next day for the full day. So us to find ample time to do that cure process when we're off-site doing our training, I think will be a difficulty, and that's something I can't give to a clerk to do. We have to do it. So that would, if we're all together, that would be one solution, is that we could do it in the very brief periods between the classes when we can, or they could bring them to us while I talk, John can look at them, and I can do them while he talks. So that was also the idea. We can't bring them with us to do it. They have to stay in the secure facility. So that was our thought in being together, is that we could do the cures that are now required of us.
Deputy Executive Ryder?
I mean, I just want to point out in the document that Tom sent that the storage, quote unquote, the machine space is only $5.15 a square over this time. I mean,
yeah,
that the cost of that portion is not a large portion of this. You're going to have a hard time finding another space that's cheaper than that. I just want to stress that. And once this space is gone, it's gone. I mean, it's in a desirable area, and I know, you know, Mr. Deegan's going to start as soon as they're going to find another occupant of this space. So I just want
to... Can I just respond to that real quick?
Okay.
You know, I don't disagree that, you know, it's really good space. It should be, for the fact that it's going to cost us double what we're paying now. More than double, actually, when you include the utilities at $2 a square foot.
Let me... Legislator Gavars?
That's fine. Let's finish.
We're paying $64,000 now. This is an increase of $62,000, not including the $2 a square foot on utilities.
It's 9,000 more square
feet. I agree.
Are there any other properties that we're leasing now for county functions other than the BOE?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know what the total square footage is that is needed, even a ballpark?
What do you mean?
That we're paying for a lease that if we had a better location to put them in that we owned, we would do so right now.
Vern, what do you mean another one? I'm sorry, I'm not following your question.
So if we're leasing space for XYZ department right now, if we had a better place to put them, we would put them there. What would the square footage they would need, similar to BOE, is needed?
It depends on the department. And it's spread out throughout the county. There's not one ideal
location. I'm referring to this area, the general Kingston, Ulster area.
We lease space for the public defender's office. Space. What else in this area?
Bridges. Bridge Vandale.
We have some. There's sheriff's department substations. We have our substations. We in this area, though, in the Kingston area.
Public
defense. Public defense. Second floor.
How much is square feet? Is that approximately?
Any idea? I'm sorry, I don't know that off the top of my head.
Upstairs at Board of Elections.
Right. Same building as Board of Elections, but upstairs.
I don't know what the square footage is there.
Well, 3,000 to 5,000
Yeah. Okay. Well, because I was just looking up, you know, different properties that are talked about for sale. Somebody mentioned that earlier. 40 Hurley Avenue, which is a great building. I mean, it's even closer than this. It's in the city of Kingston, $2.8 million, and it's 31,500 square feet. You know, we could even lease out the rest of the building that we don't need and still come out ahead, I think. And it's a building we own, we control, and we have space available. I mean, that's much more space than we need, 31,500 square feet.
Is there a warehouse?
No, it's the old Hurley Surgical. It's the office building.
With the elevators and everything.
Yeah.
Legislator Rock?
Thanks. I'm just going to, I'll close with these comments, unless anybody says something else I'll respond to. I'll be honest. We have a lot of space concerns at the county. There's a lot of departments that are working in inadequate space, and you know, making no disrespect to what the Board of Elections does and the nature of the job that you do. Right now, we are content to still have our emergency services dispatchers working in what amounts to one floor of a house up on Golden Hill with inadequate equipment, with inadequate space. And we have spent an inordinate amount of time trying to solve a problem that right now amounts to we need a place to put these machines in the machine techs. That's a concern for me. It's a concern for me that we're spending this much time on this. I understand that we are more aware of what goes on here. I encourage every legislator to take a tour of the 911 center. It's really a travesty that they're still operating there. I don't think that moving the Board of Elections from Wall Street is this priority. I think that the priority, I think if we're going to prioritize moving departments and finding new space, I think new space for the 911 center is the biggest priority. They hold hundreds of lives in their hands every single day. And I don't understand why the conversation isn't where can we put these machines rather than, can we more than double the cost of the Board of Elections lease altogether? I don't know. That's
yes.
I mean, I would just add to that, though, is that you and I were just in a meeting where there was significant support and beginning plans to invest a significant amount of funding
into
adjusting that same. So I think I think both can happen. I think both are happening right now. So I just want the record to be clear on that. It's not like there's nothing being discussed about the 911 center.
Well, no, but we've been discussing the 911 center for longer than we've been discussing.
We actually were talking serious numbers and actual commitment and different bonding and all that with Bert and folks just last Wednesday. But I just want to be clear that
We were talking conceptually about spending some of the ARP money on it. I wouldn't say that we were talking about it, because I don't think that there's been any sighting done.
Okay, but the record will reflect both. Let's stay on the BOE. I think you both make good points. Legislator,
so
you should tell.
Thank you, Chairman Patel. So to the point that the other options for other departments that are being explored, shouldn't be given too much weight because it's only a theory. That's the opposite logic that we're applying to them proposing the move. We're now counter proposing all of these other theories about where we could cite them. And this isn't a question. This is just a comment on the conversation that we're having. Despite all of our heroic efforts to try and claw out some other option that's concrete, we have not done so. We have an option here that has been presented by two appointed leaders, which is why, that's why you don't see the same kind of presentation from other department heads. We have two leaders that are appointed on a partisan basis, and they've come together to give us this presentation. That's not the way that we put other departments in place. I also have issues when we talk about citing them in this building. I have issues with the possibility that we're going to have, partisanly appointed staff, which makes sense for the structure of the Board of Elections, alongside staff that all report to one of the elected people that files paperwork there every year or every cycle, right? That's going to be a problem. That's not a trivial thing to solve, despite the way that it was framed earlier. I'm not seeing other options here that are concrete, and it is not in dispute. We opened the conversation by agreeing it's not in dispute that something has to be done to change this. So I don't know if we have a question. I'm not even on the committee, so I can't call the question. I don't even know if we have a question in front of us. But, this is, to Ken's point, we are spending a lot of time on this.
Legislator Ronk?
I mean, if Legislator Ushtahill's got someplace else to be, we can close the meeting. I mean, I do think it's an important thing to spend time on. I'm just saying that we're spending more time on this now than I've seen spent on the 911 center problem since I've been a county legislator since 2008. And I think that one is a little bit heftier in weight than the other one. I will say that I do not believe that there is universal belief that something has to be done right now about the entire Board of Elections unit. I believe that the pressing issue, as I've said, I believe the pressing issue, and others may disagree, and that's the beauty of our system. I believe the pressing issue is the machines, and we're not focusing on the machines and the machine techs and the storage and climate control or whatever we're calling it, heating and air conditioning, essentially. We're not spending the time on that. We're spending the time on moving the entire unit. And I totally respect where the commissioners are coming from. If I were them, I probably would have suggested this too, because it's much better space for them, and it would provide a much better product, for their staff. Unfortunately, we can't operate in a vacuum, and we can't operate as if costs don't matter, and costs aren't, and cost increases aren't non-existent, aren't real. This is a real cost that's going to increase the cost of leasing space for the Board of Elections by double. And that's being conservative, because with the $2 a square foot on what we're paying at the, reducing the amount of the lease by the 2% a square foot to account for the utilities that we're paying for in the lease at Wall Street, it actually flops it to, it's more than double that this is going to cost us. So, I understand it's a better facility. I understand it would be better space. I'm just not sure that the taxpayers are willing to spend more than double to achieve that. The second thing I'll say is that... No, I lost it. I went on a tangent there, and I lost it. I'll come back to it.
Okay. Legislator Walter?
So the thing that bothers me the most is the fact that I hear from senior legislators that they've been asking for this for so long and it hadn't happened, and that our BOE heads had to, on their own, do this work. And I guess, what I want to feel reassured about is that's going to change. Like, and that it's BOE, it's emergency services. Like, where is the really strong plan, and what's the timeline of the plan to really make sure that you identify the best county space for BOE and do those changes and find where emergency services should, if it's been asked for so many years and it hasn't happened, what will it take to really make it happen and assure us that it really will happen? Because in my heart, I feel like they move, they're never getting out of there. Like, I don't believe. You could tell me we're going to figure it out in 5 years, but I have this just feeling that that's not going to be true. And in 5 years, they'll still be there. So I would just need to know, how will you assure us that that isn't the case and that you're really actively hearing these concerns that have been expressed for now, 15 years, and actually move towards that commitment of these changes?
Is that you're raising in response?
Yes.
Okay.
At a certain point, I have to defend the work that has been done by Public Works, because they do an incredible job. And while some, and Legislator Bartels and I had this conversation the week prior to the vote last month, while some legislators may have raised these in committee meetings, there's never been a request directly to Public Works asking them to solve the BOE problem. As far as they were concerned, BOE, up until the time the voting machines needed to be moved, that they were in a location that was suitable for them for now. As far as the Emergency Operations Center is concerned, we are drafting an RFP now. It will go to architectural design, and it will be out soon. As Legislator Heppner said, there was meetings that were discussed where there's some money potentially being put behind this, but also with the grants that Steve Peterson has got, this is a project that's moving forward. The RFP has been in the process of being drafted for weeks now, and it's at a point where we're comfortable releasing it in the near future. There are moves that are looked at by Public Works on a regular basis. Properties have been bought and sold in this county by prior administrations, by this administration, by the legislature, and it's a constantly shifting landscape for what the county owns. You're not ever going to see another study like this that's seven volumes long, because the county owns probably a quarter
quarter of the property that it owned back in the CNS study. We don't own the nursing home anymore. We don't own... There's a lot of large properties that are no... South Manor Street, right?
For all intents and purposes.
The nursing home, there's others. And so it's... But they have been doing the work all along in this process and looking at space analysis. All
right. I'll give Legislator Rock his moment. But I do need to respond because I think that I need to be clear that the conversation that we had about the long-held request for dealing with BOE and getting BOE space addressed concerns addressed, which has changed over time, I don't fault Buildings and Grounds at all. I don't fault anyone from Buildings and Grounds. Buildings and Grounds, this was very often brought up in Laws and Rules over many, many years, on the floor over many years, every time. In fact, probably the last time I voted for the lease, which was just last year, I said, I hope that we address this, that we get the BOE out of rented space. And I was assured through the executive's office that we were working on this. So I am not faulting Buildings and Grounds and saying that they're not doing their job. And I don't feel it's my role as a legislator to directly contact Buildings and Grounds and tell them to undertake a study or tell them to go ahead and figure out what to do with BOE. That's through the executive's office. So it's beyond me that message couldn't have gotten through, not just from the legislature, but from the Board of Elections itself. Because over my time in the legislature, while the concerns may have begun as financial concerns, certainly the concerns became, and Legislator Ronk and I disagree on this point, I really do believe that the space they're in the front of the house is inadequate. We are facing a time issue on the machines and the techs and all of that, but I believe that the space they're operating in is inadequate, and now it's more than a financial concern to me. So, I'm not sure that Legislator Walters' question has been answered sufficiently, to the extent that your answer was more a defense of Buildings and Grounds rather than a forward-looking, are we going to be assured that there is going to be some kind of analysis, and is there going to be a move to move Board of Elections into county-owned buildings? I guess it's back to the original question, or is this the long-term solution?
It will depend a lot on the feasibility study from IS and what happens with a few other moves regarding if we can get surrogate court out of this building and into the courthouse, which will depend on moving another independently elected office in the DA's office out of the courthouse. And then there's a lot of puzzle work, but the work is being done, and I assure that we are doing the planning and looking at the analysis for all of these moves kind of concurrently.
Okay. Legislator Ronk, I'm going to call on Legislator Litz because he had his hand up and he has spoken last.
Legislator, in answer to your question, the county takes on many tasks to look to the future on how we're going to mold the county. We have a 2040 plan. Put a lot of time, effort, and money into that to give us a direction on how we're going to go. We have a five-year capital program plan where we analyze our facilities, our structures, and we come up with a five-year plan on how we're going to move in the future. There's a document over there that's dated 2007 that's a space allocation plan. It needs to be updated so that we look at our space requirements, we look at what we have today, and look where we should be in the future, and if that were updated and it were followed, then it would be similar to the other plans that the county has. But it has to become a priority. It hasn't been, and it's not, and that's why the document is from 2007.
I understand all that and appreciate it. I, as pointed out, I think the condition of BOE is not new to anyone, and I trust my senior legislators that they have brought this up previously, and I want to know that there's this, that the best possible place will be identified or bought, and the efforts will be made to move them into that location as an active goal. And, you know, can't go back in the past. I wish that happened probably 5-10 years ago. But that's what I want to hear, that efforts very specifically to say we are going to find that spot and we are going to figure out what we have to do to get that spot. Otherwise, they'll still be there.
Legislator Hepner.
Yeah, I just want, while we're all here, can I just get clarification? I think there was multiple answers going around amongst folks on the lease, the draft lease, mm-hmm. in terms of the opt out clause.
So it's an opt in. Mm-hmm. We have to within a year, so more than a year before the lease ends. At least 12 months prior to, we have to exercise the option for another 5 years.
But what about opt out?
Of our current lease?
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
he's saying an opt out of the new lease.
There is not an opt out of the new lease because they're building out significant.
So in the first 5 years, there's no.
We're there.
But what about if we would opt in for the following 5 years, would there be an opt out?
It would be a 5 year.
But even if we opted in for the additional 5 years, there wouldn't be an opt-out clause at
they're
that
not
point?
Currently
no, because there wouldn't be. It's the same terms plus okay, right. the escalating.
Because there's different information going. That's why I just wanted clarification.
But we'll know within 5 years.
Yeah.
Whenever it's my turn, Trace.
It's your turn.
Okay. Just to go back to Abe's point, I remember what where my brain took a left-hand turn. I understand what you're saying about, our appointed commissioners, going out and doing this and it wouldn't happen otherwise. And that's actually one of my grave concerns about this process is that, I'm willing to bet you that there are other departments. I will use emergency management, emergency communications as an example. I'm sure that Steve Peterson, Art Snyder, and Everett Erickson, the three people that have been the director of emergency management, emergency communications since I've been a legislator, would have loved to have better space. But if they went out and came to the legislature with a plan for better space, they would have been fired because they serve at the pleasure of the county executive. The only reason that our commissioners, are given this special dispensation to come to us with a plan for space outside of the county executive's office is because they're partisanly appointed by us. It's not anything that would ever happen for another department. Any department head that would come to the legislature around the county executive's office would most certainly be fired by the county executive for insubordination. And that brings me to Mark's point about the Buildings and Grounds and Public Works Department. And I just want to take this moment to say that I have every confidence in all four of you. I can tell you that, I've worked alongside and seen Tom Jackson and Don Quisnell. Don, I saw him work even before he was with Public Works when he worked for the legislature. And the same thing with Mr. Maneri and Rob Parody, who I've worked with for many years as a county legislator and outside of the legislature. So I apologize if any aspersions were cast your way by any of my words today. I absolutely 100% have every confidence in the four of you and everybody who works there. My deep concern and disappointment is with the county executive's office and with both this county executive and the previous county executive for not solving the problem, for not working with the legislature to solve the problem. And I just wanted to take that time to say that because none of this, I don't want any of it to be aimed towards or taken by you as a lack of confidence in your work. It's not. Again, I think that one of the big concerns I have is, and I understand why. It's because of inaction by the branch of government in charge of the buildings and grounds that the commissioners took it upon themselves. And I would be willing to bet that any other department that has lackluster space or space that isn't as adequate or as good as it could be would want to go out and find their own space, and that's what you guys have done. It's great space. It should be. It's expensive. I'm not in favor of spending that much more money on it right now.
Moving the BOE here, does it seem like an acceptable solution to me? Because it still leaves out the problem of what to do with the machines.
Sub-manner. Sorry.
Is that an option?
Yeah. I mean, potentially.
Potentially.
Existing as it is now, it is not an option.
It is not. Is that the same way we're talking about renovating?
Even if no one was there, it's not an option.
It would also, right, it's currently occupied, so parking and other things would be an issue. It would need to be renovated and again, potentially have a knee wall reinforced so that we don't have to have staff up there shoveling off the snow so that it doesn't collapse. And a building only doesn't collapse until it collapses and then it's gone. So,
well, okay.
The current BOE.
Let's not legislate around.
Yeah, I'll finish up. The current BOE may be inadequate. It may not be idea, but it works. There's no question that it hasn't worked the last year or year before. You guys did a great job at making it work. Could we do better? Yes. It's going to take some time. But sandbagging us, saddling us in a five-year lease with no opt-out is kind of unacceptable.
Can I speak to that? Actually, perfect. Thanks for the segue. So sorry if I used the wrong terminology before and was confusing because we've talked so much with this contract recently about the opt-in that maybe I used the wrong terms. But we do have a termination clause. Article 24 in the contract says, in any event, the leasee, County of Ulster, shall have the option to terminate the lease for any reason or no reason whatsoever upon 60 days written notice.
Just a point of information on that. The Deputy County Executive, Milgram, made it abundantly clear right before the last legislative meeting that this contract is in draft form and not final form and has not been signed off on by both parties.
Well, I know that. It literally says draft across.
But I'm saying it could change. And
I know, but I'm just saying to his point.
But I guess that's another. Yeah. I guess perhaps that's a question. I mean, we're talking. We've been told that that we're locked into a five-year lease because of build out. And yet the draft before us has a termination clause. So
it might, and I don't know what it speaks to as far as what our cost would be.
It doesn't.
I don't believe it does.
It doesn't speak to it. It just allows us to opt out for any reason.
It's a standard termination clause
that
we have in every contract.
Correct. But we're being told it's not there.
They don't include
that's what I'm saying. We're being told that it isn't there.
I was involved in negotiations. I would imagine.
Legislator Guevaras, and then I have Legislator Uchitel.
So, that was part of the problem with voting for this. And the thing is, we were voting on a draft contract that we don't really know the terms of. I mean, I'm surprised at those who did vote for it, I gotta be honest, because you're voting on something that's not definitive yet. So that's one problem. The other one is, and this is sort of being said, but I don't think it's really hitting home to anybody. We're talking about different needs throughout the county. You're talking about renovations that have to be done to buildings, knee walls being up on roofs with shovels, and you're talking about buildings, I don't know if you were being serious or your joke about buildings collapsing until they collapse, and you sort of laughed at that.
Every building is standing until it doesn't stand.
Okay, I thought you were disagreeing with that statement. Look at the news right now, what's going on. I mean,
again,
that's the thing.
Like I said, the building was collapsing in 2007.
I agree, and there should be, and that's, but there's all these needs and potential repairs. Maybe the repair shouldn't be done. And look at the space needs of everybody collectively. You have a plan that's outdated. I wonder, I've never even heard of that before, and it'd be interesting to know how much of that was actually followed from the 2007 or 8 or whatever. But instead of looking at it just for BOE, like I just found this one here, 31,000 square feet, and actually there's more than that because they don't count the basement. There's basement space available as well for storage. So, I mean, I think we need to, I think there's an opportunity in the next coming weeks to look at this collectively of all of our needs, immediate and long term, and if it does require us to buy something, it may be better off. The last thing I'll say is to Legislator Walter, what she said, I still don't think she got the answer that she's really looking for. Where is our guarantee that we're going to progress and not have this continue? I guess that's what you were looking for, and I still don't think that answer has been given.
Okay.
I guess the answer is it's not going to be given, but...
I think the answer was a definite maybe.
Okay.
Legislator, you should tell you had your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, it sounds like there, and I fully appreciate that there's a lot of frustration about other departments, and I think to Legislator Rong's point, I think it's completely accurate about the way that a department head would be treated if they came forward the way that an appointed position would be able to come forward. This is, in a way, while it kind of, this point defeats itself, in a way that's exactly why we wanted to get those, to be able to, if a department head put forward, hey, I want to move into their budget, and the county executive didn't include it into the draft proposed budget, then we would never know that, right? And that's exactly why some of us really wanted to be able to know what the department heads were proposing. Now, I realize why it's problematic to put a department head in a position of facing retribution, but the point that I want to make is we can't, I don't think it would be, I don't think our constituents would appreciate us not addressing this situation when we have an opportunity to do so, and constraints that to a certain degree force our hand, at least with the machines, and to be able to move forward with something that is going to benefit our constituents, especially in a function like voting. The easiest election year, actually this is probably a bad example, but the voting circumstances are getting more complex. I was going to say the easiest election year was always last year, but that will probably always be the hardest election year, but the rules are going to continue to get more complex, and we are, by ignoring this because we're frustrated with the way other departments have been handled, I don't think that we're serving our constituents very well. And I don't think we're, I'm not implying that any of the other proposals have been, I wouldn't classify any of them as ignoring the situation, but to not move forward with something that's concrete because there are many other options that could be explored when we know there's a track record of not fully exploring those, and here we have an opportunity to move forward with something, I don't think that would be a wise decision.
And that's the, you have just articulated my struggle with this, because there's an opportunity before us, and I've had this conversation with multiple legislators, and I am concerned about the unexplored opportunities, but here is a concrete one. I have two quick technical questions, one for Don. In the financial analysis, you said it kept out the gas and electric expense. Are you factoring in anywhere the HVAC maintenance that they talk about, that we will have to pay for that contract once they are responsible for putting in a new HVAC system, I recall, and then we are responsible for the service and maintenance contract on that HVAC?
And if operations and maintenance, there's about $200,000 in OEM costs.
It's a 25A.
And if it's not, if it wasn't factored in, do we have a sample of what, and you don't have to answer this right this minute, but could you get me a sample of what a like HVAC system maintenance service charge costs so that we can add that into the cost analysis?
We have a general operating maintenance contract and would become part of that. The cost on that wouldn't be substantial. I would say under $10,000 a year, including emergency repair work, which you wouldn't have on the front half.
Would you just add this to our existing contract that we just voted on?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then my second kind of technical question, which I'm not even sure who it's for, because I don't know who negotiated the lease, but because I assume that the costs are factoring in the build-out, so that's how we're arriving at the square footage and the annual lease. Did we do any analysis on what we believe the build-out would have cost? I mean, do we feel that this is a fair assumption, the build-out costs that are assumed in this lease price? And if so, how did we come to that conclusion?
I'm sorry, I'm just going to backtrack one second on the HVAC.
Yeah.
It was included in the common fees. It's broken out in Section 25A of the contract, and I did include that number.
It's in the common fees?
Yeah.
Even the new HVAC that we have to get?
Yeah, he's quoting that. It's, the lesser shall include the cost for a service.
I think I had you.
Additional rent, which I have included in the common fees under both property management and general R&M.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So the newer question, I don't know who it's for, but how did we analyze what the build out would cost and determine that was fair in relation to the rent? And did we do comparable rents? Did we do a rent comp study on space in Kingston? And do we have those studies to see?
Well, we are looking at it on a square foot basis. The cost per square foot is what we feel to be within reasonable market. And no, I don't have a market analysis, but we're fairly familiar with what the lease rates have been within the city of Kingston.
$15 to $17 a square foot, depending if utilities are included for office space and storage space, anywhere from 5 to 7.
Yes. So these are competitive market rates. The $14 per square foot is for office space. The $5.15 per square foot is for storage. Both of those rates are quite competitive.
Okay. But we don't have any...
I don't have a study that I can share.
Okay.
If you look at the existing space, I mean, they're renting us 3,500 square feet at Wall Street for $322,000.
I would argue that Wall Street's probably a higher, I mean, really probably a considerably higher price point than off of Wall Street.
But it's 1.5 times. I mean,
yeah.
that
but a square
same
footage
space
price, yeah.
is 201,000 in this lease compared to 322,000.
Right. Okay. Did I miss anyone's hand? Does anyone else?
I just.
Legislator.
Parking. Oh, sorry. I was just saying. Also, in addition to square footage, but also
parking.
We have a very significant parking lot,
which is a substantial benefit,
especially for access to a Board of Elections.
In theory, there's going to be a parking garage built in Uptown Kingston. So.
then maybe you actually be able to find a park. A spot.
I agree with you.
Anyway.
So I just want to make clear I'm not supportive of this because, other things haven't been, other problems haven't been solved. I was bringing that up as, all these other problems haven't been solved, and here we are solving this one problem that just came up, for the, partisan elected or appointed Board of Elections Commissioners. And staff. I equate the haste that we're going through this on to the same level as when the legislature, against my no vote, took the unprecedented step to pay our election employees out on their comp time, when we would never do that for another department in the county. I think that there is a rush to do things for the Board of Elections and not as much of a rush to do things for other departments. And that's a concern of mine, because I feel like it looks like special treatment. When we talk about what it looks like to the taxpayers, that's what it looks like to me.
Is there anyone else that would like to raise a concern, ask a question?
I just want to follow up on something
yes.
that Legislator Litz asked. We might not be able to add the HVAC system to our existing contract that you just adopted.
Because it's not a county built.
And also because depending on the type of machine
yeah.
equipment, so we can't commit to that.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Legislator Ward.
And it might
Absolutely.
Have been answered because I was late, I'm sorry. Is your lease up where you are now?
It is not.
Okay. When does that expire?
I believe in 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
We definitely have a termination clause in that one. Right?
We do. It's unclear whether or not we're going to have one. The executive's office
yep.
says no, and they're the ones that were negotiating it.
Legislative. Public works. I'm assuming John didn't negotiate this lease. I did not negotiate this lease. This was.
Can I ask that?
Well,
who negotiated
the lease?
The owner of the property did.
Well, let's find out.
Don?
It was myself, Rob, and Christy.
Do we have a termination clause?
It has not been pushed back on by Joe Deegan on the draft we sent.
I assume Mr. Deegan's
yes.
seen the
yes,
draft
he's
before
seen
you
the
submitted
draft.
It.
So it's in there
yeah.
now.
And his
whether we owe
lawyers.
Them money for build out, which we have in every other lease that we've done where they've built out something for us, would be something that.
Legislator Walter, you had your hand up.
So
along with the request of looking at the cost for the build-out and whether they make sense, I heard a few times certain spaces wouldn't be possible because of extensive renovations. Could it be possible to know what those renovations would be so that we can compare it to those build-out costs as well?
We'd have to hire somebody to quote us.
You mentioned a few. You know, the asbestos, whatever you've mentioned, even if there was some idea, because those changes that you'd be doing to a building that's not ours, and then changes to a building that is ours, it'd just be interesting to see how different those values would be.
My guess is that Mr. Deacon is not bound by prevailing wage, and the county is, so that those costs are going to be significantly more.
Well, he also doesn't have to do a lot of build-out, because that building housed printing machines that weigh a lot per square foot, whereas if you took a regular building like this to house the equipment, and that is a higher square footage or a higher pounds per square foot, he doesn't have to do that because that building is built to commercial standards to a very high low rating.
But from the contract, it suggests there is a lot, and there's a lot of costs associated with it, so there must be something going on because there's definitely...
We literally went through and asked for like the bare minimum to get that space up and running. There's only thing going up is like one wall, and the
carpet.
Electrical and the cabling is the biggest expense, and it's not even included in the build out. It's something that's separate of the build out. Otherwise, we're pretty much using everything that's existing.
So can I just ask that these contract that. To say, well, we're tied to this 5-year because of all these build-outs that they're doing, and then there's not really any build-out. Like, we've got to pick one or the other. If there's not really that much build-out, then we should be able to exit as easily as we enter. If there is a lot of build-out, then we should know how much that's really costing. But I keep hearing both. I keep hearing, you know, the tie-in and all the how they're, you know, reconstructing the space for us, but then I'm also hearing
it's
that they're barely touching it.
And the biggest thing they're doing is the HVAC system.
So
I don't think we are.
We're being told it's 5 months build out, so that
six.
Seems
okay.
Like
it's 6 months.
Yeah, this is
now it's 5 months. Because it's spent one of the.
Is there any way, just so we don't ask the question 1,000 different ways, is there any way that Buildings and Grounds could go through this list of work that the landlord is going to do in order to get it ready for Ulster County and assign a value of what that work might be, a best based on previous experience and let us know what that is? Because there is kind of we're talking about a wide range of 6 months with significant work to cosmetic work only to one wall to, you know, and I I really do feel like that those values are intimately tied to the cost of the rent, because the, you know, where this rent is based on the fact that they're doing this work for us. So it's a very big, it matters whether it's a minimal or maximal amount of work. Legislator DeBarge.
I was just going to say, you know, you're trying to ask them to base it on past projects that they've done or that we've done through the county. It's hard to do that right now, and I think Roberts can agree, the costs of construction right now and renovations, any materials, I mean, it's just crazy. You could never imagine that some of the things cost what they cost. I mean, a 2x4x8 used to cost $3 and change. It's over $12 now. I mean,
it just came back down, though.
It's right now, but HVAC stuff, and that's why I don't see how they're going to do that. I know HVAC equipment is hard to get right now at a fast pace. So, I mean, yeah, it's 5 months. That's why it's the time frame. It's a long build out because it may not be a complicated project, but availability of product is going to be the issue here.
We're leasing 3 times as much space for just over double the cost. We're comparing. I feel like sometimes
some of this warehouse space that was made clear a couple of times that it's only $5 and something cents a square foot,
but
the warehouse portion.
Keep in mind, though, if I may, that You're asking for, we aren't being billed for a build out in front of this. It's incorporated into the lease and they're still giving us favorable market rates. So we're still at 15.5, which is on the lower side of City of Kingston for lease cost, and they're renovating the space for us. It's not at the county expense for renovating. I know it's built in, but it's not a separate bill.
So the operations and maintenance, is that included in what we're billing as the cost per square foot? Or is that in addition to the cost per square foot that's market rate?
So when you say operations and maintenance, you mean the
school taxes, the...
That is separate of the 62.
So that is what brings, that right there is what brings it above market rate, and what brings the, you know, really huge benefit to the landlord is that we're paying a lot of his expenses.
You have common fees and school taxes, but everything else is typical for what $15 a square foot would be. Some of the cost is on the county, which is typical. It's utility cost is, we would float. I mean, 284 Wall Street is kind of the exception for leases for us where we don't pay utilities.
I said wrong. Did you want
to? Is it possible for us to see a final contract before our next meeting?
I would like
because
to.
Because that's, you know, that's one of the things, you know, one thing that might, I'm not sure that even this will, but one thing that might make me change my mind a little bit is if we do have the termination clause, because then we can move forward with efforts to get us back in the county building, since apparently it's almost, you know, free to move.
I think that's a reasonable request. Can we see it?
What's in front of you is, Joe Deegan has signed off on this, and the county attorney has signed off on it, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, every draft that we put in front of you, every contract says draft contract.
So we could take out the portion that says that anything in the contract can be changed with the county attorney?
That's typical language. No.
I think we did that.
It is.
It's not in every contract.
Okay, let's not argue back and forth. I have... I'll defer to the legislature. Okay. Legislator Guevara's in the council.
But that's not what was said to us. It wasn't told to us that it was already signed off on the other sides. That was, at least, I don't recall that hearing that. Until just now, I never heard that. Even earlier, it was said that, well, he hasn't agreed to this yet. It's a draft. If it's something, but then...
I've heard so far.
Yeah, so far. I mean, he's agreed to it. He's seen it, as early, I think, was the exact phrasing.
Nothing gets signed until you guys approve it.
No, I understand that.
By word, he has agreed to it. Yes.
We haven't heard that before. That's the.
He has definitely agreed to it.
Yes.
Can I just?
This is before you because he agreed to it.
Nothing.
We don't bring things without both sides.
Both deputy county executives at the last meeting said that this was not signed off on. It was not a final contract, and that the reason that we had to approve it before it was approved by the county attorney's office and the landlord was because we had to move quickly because it was going to take them 6 months to build. There was a lot of build out. We're getting told there's one wall and a couple of cosmetic things. I understand that the availability of resources. And to Deputy Commissioner Quisnell's comment about things not being signed before they come to us, I mean, we've executed contracts and started paying people before we approve contracts before. So it is wildly incorrect that things don't get signed before they come to us. Routinely are signed.
I have Council Ribucci next, and then we'll.
And my question to either of the deputies, has this been reviewed by the landlord's attorney?
I believe yes is the answer. The one thing that. And again, I wasn't at the last Laws and Rules meeting prior to session, but what Deputy Milgram was talking about is the addition of the language on the option had not been reviewed, but then was reviewed the next day prior to session, basically by the landlord.
Well, just to clarify, the Laws and Rules meeting, we did not have the language, the agreed-upon language of the option. The language came in.
He's reviewed that language at this point, and I believe he had reviewed the rest of the contract.
So, okay. So just a quick thought, just from a legal perspective, would it be fair to say then that the 60-day termination provision is in there, and as the lease stands now, there is no... liquidated damages provision that I could see that would require us to pay them if we exercise that. I mean, they could have a cause of action in court, you know, for whatever, you know, monies that they spend in, you know, anticipation of our
lease. It's in the language, and Joe Deegan has signed off on it. Yes, it's
in the lease doesn't, I mean, we can agree the lease doesn't actually say that. It says that we don't have any penalty that I've read. Okay, I just want to make...
I've been combed through every, like, I don't know.
Okay. So maybe we can
I haven't seen that penalty provision.
Let's get confirmation that what is before us now is the agreed upon contract, agreed upon by the landlord and agreed upon by the county attorney, and legislative council can make the contact with the county attorney too.
In fact, Madam Chair, I would say that confirm. I would argue they don't even have a cause of action because we've expressly noted our termination provision, so they have no expectation of payment, or not a reasonable one. But I'm not...
Legislator Litz?
No, to rent this space, even if he doesn't rent it to us, he's going to have to do build-out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a cost he's anticipating as a landlord.
Right.
And especially if it's one wall and a little cosmetic stuff, he's got to be very happy to get $15 a square foot for a very little build-out cost. So... I don't see the issue
on this. Okay. So, what is the pleasure of the committee at this point?
Well, we're going to meet again.
We do. We have another meeting.
2 weeks?
Yes.
Did we ever make a motion?
No.
Discussion?
No.
Then we don't even need to. I think that we just leave it where it is. It's in the committee.
Yeah.
The question is, are we going to move it to the floor in 2 weeks?
I mean, I'm not ready for that, but, you know, we'll see what comes back.
Is there a need, I guess my question to the committee is, do we need to have another meeting on this subject in particular before, our next meeting is the night before session. I mean, given all the concerns about the last, and I don't necessarily need an answer this moment, I have been advised that we have the possibility of scheduling a meeting, not this coming week, not the committee week, July 4th week, the following week, the week of the second Ways and Means. So if we needed to have a second meeting, I can say as the chair of the committee, I would prefer to have a meeting if we need to discuss this on this subject rather than on the day before the meeting, you know, be hashing this out.
It's my feeling that I don't think we're going to come up with a solution anytime soon. We're going to have to vote on it at the next meeting. I mean, we could postpone it again, but how much time do we have before the Daley Freeman building runs dry on us?
Okay.
And
if I may, if it's not moved forward at next month, I believe, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, we lose the contract, right? Joe Deegan's going to move on to somebody else.
That's what he indicated.
When
okay.
You say next month, you mean July.
Meaning
July.
This month's meeting, yes.
And by move on to somebody else, you mean relist it?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I don't know.
But we have until... We have until.
He's made it clear that he needs an answer sooner than later, of course, from us.
Agenda long.
And I do believe he's got to look at other options.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not against having another outside meeting.
I'm not against it either.
Okay. So I guess I will reach out to, we don't have to decide it right now, we'll send a doodle poll. And if there are any questions as a result of this meeting or any additional information that the committee members would like or any member of the legislature would like from the executive's office or the office of buildings and grounds, public works, please get those questions to me so I can get them to the appropriate places so we can get the answers, and we'll let you know very shortly if we'll have another meeting. Anyone have anything else to add this evening?
We'll wait, John.
Okay. Exactly. I just say thank you for having us here. I'm glad to be a part of this conversation because I know other departments aren't afforded this opportunity, and I know we are sort of the first domino to fall in what is a bit of a larger conversation. I don't envy your decision-making process at all, but regardless, we're here as participating commissioners in any way that we can.
Thank you both.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you both. And thank you all. Thank you all for coming here. So I have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.